I guess the first question to ask you is, what do you do and how did you get there?
That's a really good question. What do any of us do? But no, jokes aside, so from a wool call perspective, we produce insulated packaging using sheep's wool, hence why it's called wool call. Our product is typically used in the food and pharmaceutical sectors for shipment of temperature sensitive goods. So to put that really basically, people will use our boxes to send things like meat and dairy out to consumers. It may be used to send Botox and vaccines and insulin. So we have, I always joke that we have the same, we ship everything from kind of cheese to Botox. So, we have the whole spectrum. And so, yeah, we now ship globally around the world. And we are really an alternative to, say, polystyrene boxes. So typically in our sector, polystyrene boxes would be used to ship goods. Whereas we've borrowed the wool from the sheep when it gets sheared, and we put that into our boxes.
No, excellent. And I see, I guess aligned with that, you've got B Corp status, which is great. Was that, I guess that wasn't a difficult decision to go for that accreditation.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the thing with B Corp, it's different for every business. I mean, we always say that we're not perfect, and I think quite a lot of B Corps will say the same thing. It's that thing of always striving to be a bit better, and to kind of improve impact. The thing that struck me with B Corp is around business as a force for good. And I think when we started Wool Call and the whole ethics of our product, as well as our company, is we're trying to create something a bit better than what's already out there. So that was the whole drive. And then it was in 2020 we decided that we were ready, or 2019 when we started the process, and 2020 when we certified. We decided that it was probably the right time to do it. And B Corp very much aligned with our ethics in terms of, not just looking at the bottom line, but also looking at our impact. The interesting element, though, I think with B Corp that always struck me was changing the articles from being shareholder driven. I always get this wrong around, being shareholder driven to stakeholder driven. So, as in, when I say driven, I mean that you consider not just your shareholders' pockets, but also the impact on everyone within your chain. And I say, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. And I will openly say that there's plenty of things we can improve on. But the important thing for us was that it's all about, and not just the environment, this is social as well. This is making sure that people are looked after as well. So that was really important for us.
No, absolutely. No, and I get that. And I get the piece about not being perfect. It's always continual improvement, whatever you do, that makes that happen, I guess that. So I see the business started 2008. So and looking at the organization, it's obviously grown up. I can see the number of employees that you've got. So just tell me about any of the kind of growing pains that you've had in terms of building the business and scaling the business up.
So, I mean, I guess the first, whether it's a growing pain or a change of mentality, was when, because we use wool, typically the idea is you go into a meeting and people have the view of wool as kind of fluffy sheep in field that's, very cottage industry. And there's nothing wrong with cottage industries, some great industries in the cottage industry, cottage industries, but, because of the type of companies we're supplying to, big pharma, really, big pharma are some of our companies that we will supply, some of the companies we supply to. The mentality generally of wool is that it's very fluffy. And so we spent probably the first 3 to 5 years like re-educating on wool being a technical fiber. So it's not just a woolly jumper. Well, why does it keep people warm? Why does it keep things cold? Like, what is actually going on? So we were very much around for the first 5 years or so, it was about developing the science. And from then, it was then around kind of getting the message out that natural materials can help solve some of the challenges that we're going through at the moment in within the world. And then moving on to things like, making the decision of when you move warehouse, which obviously probably is a typical business growth decision. When do you bring new people in? I mean, I think our biggest challenge, well, there's been two big challenges to date probably, was COVID. As with most companies, we were lucky in the sector that we were in was e-commerce food, and some of our company, some of the customers we supply to are online pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So you can imagine that grew quite quickly. So it was a good problem to have, but obviously you can have the problem of growth too quickly. So that was obviously a challenge. And then I think the most challenging time of my career so far is probably the last few years where, you know, you're battling everything. And I think everyone's in the same boat. You're battling everything, increases, supply shortage, all those kind of things. So, you know, that I could go on about this, but I won't, because I know you know, I have all the time in the world. But just to give some overview, that they were probably the ones that stand out the most as the biggest challenges.
No, I understand that. And it excellent that you took advantage of the COVID in terms of, I can see a lot more products effectively went online, I guess, in that kind of sense, it created some kind of level of growth. Do you have any thoughts about the team and recruiting and trying to get the best team that you can, and how important is that?
So I think getting the best team around you is really, really important. I think you recognize that everyone's different. I think having a diverse team is really important. And making sure that you're including the voices from everyone. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have everyone sat in a room together. We've got 60 team members now, so we can't have everyone sat in a room together making a decision, because nothing would get done, but making sure the voices of everyone's heard. I think the thing for me with recruitment, whether this is the question or not, I'll give you an opinion, is I really don't like CVs. There must be a better way to get people's skill set across than CVs. I just think they're really 2D and don't show a person. I think what we try to do in interviewing is to not necessarily look at the CV. We look at the CV, obviously, have to make a decision of who you're going to interview, but to a certain extent to ask questions that gets the person's personality out. And I think I'm kind of the opinion that you're kind of born with no knowledge and you can learn most things, but it's really the skills, it's the mentality and the personal skill set that we're looking for, rather than can someone use a spreadsheet? Well, you can learn to do that. So if they're a good fit for the team, then that's the kind of person we want within the company.
No, absolutely. I get that. Yeah, culture fit is equally as important as, you're right, skills and those aspects. I hear now that people are using video, so they're asked to make a short 2-minute video on their phone, and that effectively is their CV, which I think is kind of interesting to get an extra kind of dimension in terms of just, you're right, the written word as a CV in itself. So that's something I've heard that people are doing. What's your biggest learning through this journey then, Josie, in terms of growing the business and taking it to where it is?
That's a really good question. I mean, I have learned, I guess, without sounding too cheesy, there's things you learn every day. I think you realize that, and this is probably quite a bold thing to say, but I think you realize that a lot of people don't necessarily know the right answer on all levels of business. And I think you realize that most people are working off the best information they have in front of you, and that the absolute key is to make sure that you're listening to all the voices around you. So I think I always joke that I'm winging it, which, you know, I think we've done all right so far considering that. But I think there is a thing around, you know, having trusted people around you, and maybe being open to the voices that are around you in terms of that, you know, taking advice. That would be the probably the main ones. And I guess also going back to that winging thing is trusting your gut.
Right.
I think there are scenarios where obviously you need more evidence than just gut, but I think sometimes, especially when you've been in a business for a while, you kind of know what is and isn't working. So perhaps having the confidence to trust yourself as well as taking advice. So they're kind of contradictory in a way, aren't they? But, you know, trusting yourself, but also taking that advice around you.
No, I agree. It's taking all the available sources, isn't it? And one of them is yourself, and you build up experience through time, and therefore you use that experience to decide, okay, the gut feel says this is right, but also the trusted advisors are absolutely right too, in terms of calling on other people. And we tend to see things through our own frame, don't we? But actually other people then see it kind of more in a different way if they're outside our business. So, and just if I can ask about, because it's a family business, I saw on your website you've got the family business unit, and does that come with additional kind of interesting aspects as being a family business?
I mean, family businesses are really interesting generally, and I think every family business that you speak to will have a unique story, and every family business member will have a unique story about how they joined the business. And sure. Typically the story is they came in for a day and then they stayed for 10 years or whatever it is. So that's typical. But I think there are different challenges in family businesses. Sure. I think typically family businesses they don't necessarily want to give away equity. They don't necessarily want to take on debt. But they want to grow. They tend to look at the future rather than the immediate 5 years. You know, they're not looking at 5 years out. They're probably looking at, you know, what do the next 50 years look like? So I think there's a different mentality in terms of decision making. Yeah. But I think there's different dynamics as well. You know, I'm really lucky in that I work with my sister as well. So she's our FD. We get on really well. We kind of complement each other in our skill sets. Mm-hmm. My mum's put a lot of trust in us as well. So I think we've been relatively lucky on our journey, but I think with different family businesses, different challenges. And I think the big one is that seems to be the one that comes up is around succession. You know, how do you pass on from one family member to another? Sure. And in a way that everyone's happy and everyone at the end of it is still friends. But we've been really fortunate in the way that we've done it. So I count myself lucky from that perspective.
No, that sounds really good. And that I know is the ability to really talk to each other. And in many family instances, it's difficult to actually even start that conversation sometimes, isn't it? But sounds like yeah. You've a close family that works well. That's great. So you talked about the future there. What do you think, what does the next 5 years look like in terms of both the opportunities and potentially the challenges?
So if I had a crystal ball, what would I say? So I think the opportunities for us, I mean, without, you know, quoting The Simpsons, I think there is opportunity and challenges kind of go hand in hand. I think sometimes if you see a challenge, sometimes that just because I often find if something's hard, it means your outcome's probably there's more reward potentially in it. Yes. So, you know, from our perspective, it's about diversification into different markets. So when I say that, I mean into different territories. So we're trying to really grow our footprint across the world. We have a lot of inquiries from other countries that we service some of them, but there's certain areas where we get more from. So that would be a target. Yes. There's some internal product development that's happening, which is really exciting. So new products, bringing them to market. And then I think probably growth. One thing I would say is I don't want growth at all costs. We want sustainable growth and something that is, you know, it was great to grow quickly, but I think I'd like us to be here in 10, 20, 30 years time. So obviously that sustainable growth is key, and some investments internally in that's whether that's in making our processes better, that kind of thing. And then making sure we're investing in our team and continue to do so. I think keeping the culture as you grow is the hardest thing. But, you know, when you've got 5 people and when you've got 20 people and when you've got 60 people, and I know when you get 150 people, that then becomes even more of a challenge. So sure. That's that. And then I think from challenge point of view, externally, I think the challenge will be around more around politics and how the next government that comes in, whoever that will be, I think we're quite sure who it will be, invest in the business community, because I think the way to kind of create more opportunities is to invest in the businesses. And I'm not talking the business owners, I'm talking the businesses. So finding creative new ways to grow businesses, but again, not necessarily high growth, just to create more jobs and more opportunities for people.
Sure. No, I think that balance between ambition, which we can all have a great ambition, but then saying, hold on, what's the risk of that? And finding that balance between ambition and risk is really important. It's what you've talked about there. And I mean, it's interesting, you talked then again about culture, and I can probably recognize your business, a family business, and one that's grown, that it has, that culture is important. Do you have mission, vision and values, and are those things that you communicate to your teams?
We do, yeah, we do. I mean, our big headline, I guess, is using natural materials to change the world. So the idea being that, and it isn't just about natural materials, it's about just thinking differently. You know, I'm a bit, I've just said it about politics really is, I'm a big advocate in not trying to do the same thing again. You know, that's the insanity definition, isn't it? So I think if we can look at different things, different options, different things around us, whether it's materials, whether it's different ways of incentivizing people or whatever it is, that has more change than just trying to, you know, bang the same drum. Yeah. So that's yeah. So and obviously we have our values within that as well. So we communicate those, and they evolve. I mean, that's the thing, is you can't have the same values. You can probably have some certain values, but you obviously, as people come in, they adapt the values and the business grows. So they will evolve over time too.
No, absolutely. And you're right with the number of different people that you have. Final question then would be, who inspires you? Is there a business or a person or anybody that you know that's kind of inspired you in terms of...
I find this question really difficult. I think I've got the people I like, obviously, you know, and actually, to a certain extent, I know it's probably a really stock answer, but I think mum's been really inspiring in that since she was in her 20s, she was always in an industry that was, she's packaging consultant background, really. So she's always been in an industry that was, you know, no offense, male dominated, and one that she, I remember her saying that when she was trying to set up her original business, when she was doing packaging consultancy, she had to take my dad to the bank to get a loan, and he was nothing to do with the business at the time. This is in the 80s, and I find that crazy. So I think, yeah, and she bought up 4 daughters, and she had a business, and, you know, I don't have a kid yet, I have a dog and I struggle with that. So, you know, like, I don't know how she does it. So, yeah, so I think probably, you know, I have to give a nod to her for pioneering and obviously inventing Wallcall.
Sure.
And then my family, my sisters and my dad and kind of subsequent family. And I think then, you know, if you're talking in the public eye, I really struggle in the public eye. I think there's probably elements of different people that I'd like to bring together. But yeah, that's probably a very, very basic and stock answer, but that's probably the truth. So
no, I completely get your mother in the sense of everything you've just talked about, and as you say, going back in that kind of time, creating a business, and look where it's got now, which is kind of fantastic. So good. So there's only one, I said that was the final question. There's only one thing to say, which is there anything that we've talked about a whole number of different things, but anything that comes to mind for you in either the business or leadership that you think is really important that we perhaps haven't touched on already, that is a learning for you or important to you, anything that comes to mind?
I think I'm quite an advocate of the investment in people. And again, we don't get it right all the time. I mean, one of the things we say at Wallcall is, I always want people, if they do choose to leave, to leave in a better place. So whether that's that they've done an MVQ, whether that's they've done a degree, whether that's they've done, you know, a forklift training course, whatever it is, that they can take that skill set on and better themselves. And I kind of feel that businesses have an opportunity and a platform to help upskill and help to kind of improve economy through skill set. And everyone has a skill. I really hate the term low skill workers. I think it's the worst. Like, everyone has a skill, we just need to facilitate it.
So that
would be, you know, and I guess that might be because we're a family business, and I think a lot of family businesses probably feel the same, but it's about that upskill of people. And equally then, what that then engenders hopefully is people to look to the wider sustainability issues that are happening, and you've got, you know, more ideas coming through. So there's a number of different benefits, I think, to investing in people that is actually key. So yeah, that would be something I'm quite passionate about.
No, it's interesting. So do you get involved with the colleges just out of interest in terms of either apprentices or other kind of programs that they run?
Yeah, we've had a number of work experience students here. We've done a few talks at the colleges. There's 3 or 4 of our team who've gone through degrees through Staffordshire Uni. Right. And then we do obviously do work with MVQs and things, which I think go through, I can't remember which college you go through, but they go through different colleges. So there's different mixes that we do.
Yeah, you've got Newcastle and Staffs in your area, which I know is an excellent college. I think it was outstanding. So yeah, I'm involved. The reason I'm asking that is I'm the chair at Shrewsbury Colleges Group. So actually I'm involved in that. So it's great to hear you talk about that, you know, wanting to upskill employees, etc. Because yeah, absolutely, that's and There's so much opportunity here that isn't necessarily explored, but it's great that you actually recognize that and apply that within your own business. No, excellent.
So I was going to say, there's a change in generation, there's generational changes every generation, isn't there? And sure. I think whether it's the millennials or the next gens coming through, each generation is looking for something slightly different. And I think some of workplace satisfaction comes from not necessarily money. Money's obviously something you need to pay your bills, but it seems like there's something more than just that people are looking for. And I think some of that is around achievement and satisfaction through learning. And that doesn't mean you have to do a degree. It might just be being given the opportunity in a job to do something slightly different. So, and again, we're not perfect. We definitely can do more of it, but I think it's something that I'd like to do more of as we grow as well. So,
Your point there about generations is really important, because we've got the most diverse set of generations in our workplace now. We might still have a few baby boomers right through to kind of Gen Z, and Gen Alpha will be joining us not before long. So, but each of those generations has a really, really different need. And certainly in terms of Gen Z, they really want to understand that the company they work for is actually, it has got good values. I mean, your business is perfect for them in that kind of sense, I guess. But what they want, and they do want to feel trained and developed and be part of the business rather than just necessarily an employee. So, absolutely great point in terms of the generations.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great week, Josie. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right. Bye.